back with us tonight. We'll have him come and speak, and we will have a handout at the end of the service. Don't let us forget the very end of the administrative meeting to hand out. And appreciate Brother House.
Thank you, sir. I am glad to be here. I really am. This church has been one of our supporting churches for almost all of the church's life, and then they still let me come every year. See, when you get my age, which according to Brother Wiggins' Sunday school class is somewhere between the late 70s and the early 90s, you don't fit everywhere anymore. And so I'm glad I have a place that I can come and feel at home and make fun of people. Open your Bibles, please, to Acts chapter 26. I'm under great duress tonight. I'm very nervous about it, the time element thing, so you pray for me. Acts chapter 26, you'll be very familiar with it. I'm not going to read the passage for time's sake. We will read through it in the time that I take to speak. But I want us to look at this thing in a complete, full look at what stewardship really is all about. You might want to remember the stuff on the screen back there. Is that your year's theme? It's quite interesting. And so I want to think about what it's all about. You know, week after week, year after year, money, 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 money. Is that all there is to it? If it's not, what's the basis of what Heritage Baptist Church is striving to accomplish? And is there anything to it? I mean, is it worth investing in? Is it really what it ought to be? What could we expect from it? You know, and this deserves a long study, and the pastor can elaborate on it sometime and expand it. But if you'll remember now, we'll not take the time to look it up. It should be familiar to you unless you're a very new Christian. But Paul's salvation experience is recorded in Acts chapter 9 on the road to Damascus, where he asked the Lord who he was and what he'd have him to do. He recounted that experience over and over again, evidently, because we find him recounting it again in Acts 22 to the Jews. He carried them right back to that vision on the Damascus Road. You find him recounting it again here in Acts chapter 26 with King Agrippa. And here's where we find so much out about what complete stewardship of life is about and what the Lord would have us to do. So I want to begin to read it, and I hope reading it this way won't be piecemeal to you. I want to start in verse 16 now. Verse 15, he reminded us, I said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And he said, "I am Jesus whom thou persecutest." From that point on, we begin to see some very interesting Christian principles. After Jesus told him who he was, he said, "But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose." That's a biggie. We're going to find out what we're here for. Amen. He said, "I have appeared unto thee for this purpose." Number one, to make thee a minister. Number two, and a witness. Both of those things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto you. Now, I want to tell you, first of all, number one, notice how narrow God's purpose is. How narrow his focus is. Paul's saying, "Who are you? What would you have me to do?" And he gave him the complete thing. He said, you need to minister and witness. Now, a minister, what does a minister do? In the strictest sense, they serve. Every Christian is called to be a minister.
Amen.
Not a pulpit preacher, but every Christian is called to be a minister, and they are called, so a minister serves, and they're called to witness. What does a witness do? He tells what he's seen or heard.
Yeah.
We are called to, that's God's purpose for the whole thing.
Amen.
You got it now. I mean, that's it. And the problem today is, I'm afraid, a lot of stuff gets in our way. See, his job description is not that complex. But man, you get in church, and we got so much stuff going on that keeps us from ministering and serving that it just shuts down the very purpose of God. And we need, you know, we make up stuff to do to keep us from ministering and witnessing. And that way we can kind of soothe our conscience because we get away from that narrow focus that God has on why he put us here. And it's an amazing thing. We really need to narrow down our Christian life and simplify it. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 5, now just listen. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves, your servants, watch now, for Jesus' sake. So we've got the purpose and we've got the why of it right there. And we ought not need a lot of motivation factors to get that done. We ought not have to keep motivating and motivating and motivating. And he said, now look, when I'm ministering to you, I'm not really ministering to you. I'm doing it to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he narrows, very narrow focus of God's purpose. But now verse 17 gets very personal. Delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I will send you. Now watch. Number one, a very narrow focus. And then we come to number two, and lo and behold, he tells us that he tells us who we are sent to reach. And we don't care for it much. Notice again what it says. And from the Gentiles under whom now I send thee. See, we are sent to reach the folks that we left when we got saved.
Amen.
We don't like that crowd much anymore. See, saved people supposedly get very sensitive about sin. And check this out, and I'm just a sinner saved, so I think you folks probably are too. But what do sinners do? They sin. And we don't like that. And so we shy away from them. No, that's our crowd. That's who we're here to go after. But we like folks who look like us, smell like us, walk like us, believe like us. And they don't do none of that. You know, they smell like cigarettes and whiskey and the gutter. And we say, whoo-wee. No, that's our crowd. And we need to understand it. And we need to be busy trying to reach them. But what we do, we try to ignore, and just as well to nod your head, we try to ignore the very ones that Christ died for and sent us to minister to. And what we want to do is minister to ourselves and serve ourselves. And that's not going to get it, you see. We like to go where we go and like what we like, and they don't like that, and we don't like where they go, and it's just something most unusual. But here's what Jesus said, delivering thee from the people. He said, I delivered you from them and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send you. And so, interesting. Now, verse 19. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. All of this is him recounting that vision again from the Damascus Road. And what I want you to note are these words. I was not disobedient. I suppose we could take from that. See, if I really would like to get a consensus on this, just a happy, joyous consensus. I suppose from that we ought to consider it that when we know what to do and don't do it, it's sin.
Amen.
Yeah. Now we call it, we've got everything in the world to call it but that. Well, preacher, I don't tithe because. No, it's sin. Preacher, I can't be here Saturday morning to visit because. No, it's sin. We need to come to the place to when we know what's right to do and we don't do it, we acknowledge it as sin. And we understand that God's not going to bless like he wants to. He just simply won't do it. Let's look at a fourth thing now. We'll move away from that because I could tell it wasn't going good. Look at verse 21 now. And for these causes, the Jews caught me in the temple and went about to kill me. The key words, you know, they sought to kill me. They went about to kill me. I think that would teach us, number four, that we ought to expect the proper stewardship of the gospel to create a stir. It'll create one at your home. It'll create one at the job. It'll create one most everywhere you go. You see, things won't always go well when you set out to be a good steward of the gospel and a good steward of managing God's things in this world. There will be disruptions to your schedule. I mean, things get pretty heated. You ever wonder why so many folks who get into church and they're so happy with it and happy in the Lord, and then one day you can't find them anymore? I can help you with one of the reasons. Things didn't turn out like they thought it would. Somebody told them, you get saved and you won't ever have any more problems. Some idiot told them that. No. But when you get saved and you'll have someone to go through all the problems with you. And see, they didn't get that. And so the disruptions came and the problems came and the trouble came. And they couldn't equate it, and things were not going well, and so they drop out. That brings us to verse 22. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue to this day. Don't you reckon Paul had some hindrances? We don't have to. You can reckon like going to the bank on that. It's in the book. I mean, beatings, shipwreck, stoned, left for dead, locked up in prison. Yeah, you wonder how he kept going? It seems like he's telling us right here. And number five, we must learn to depend on God for help to keep on going. He said, having obtained the help of God, I relaxed. Now, I continued on. Go with him all the way to that hole in the ground prison he was in writing that last book he wrote. And he's still continuing. Heading for the chopping block, still continuing. You know, we need to realize that, and we need to understand this. See, years have passed now since that first vision there on the road to Damascus. Oh, it's been years and years and years. And here he's saying, having therefore obtained help of God, I continue on. Amen. Christians just won't find a quitting place if they really get in the Bible. Amen. It just won't happen. There's just not one out there. You won't find a retirement place. There's just not one out. We just to continue on. And from the time Paul was saved there on the Damascus Road, things really never ever went well. But he continued on. But watch verse 22 a little bit further. This may be as big as it gets tonight. It said, having therefore obtained help of God, I continue to this day, witnessing both to the small and great, watch now, saying none other things. Whoa, hold it. He said, now I'm not going to be saying anything but this. So what he's about to say must be very, very important. Amen. He said, now I continued on saying none other things but this. And here's what they are. None other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come. I wish we could get that. I really do. You know what he teaches? He just stuck with the Word of God.
Amen.
Didn't talk about the Cowgirls or the Mavericks or the Stars or whoever and whatever. You know, he didn't talk about who let the air out of the football. You're talking about dumb news. I'm really thrilled to hear that. I mean, that's such a newsworthy item. Just, who let the air out of the football? That's about as interesting as who let the dogs out. I don't know. I don't know, and I don't care. But I do know one thing. That this dear Christian who long ago was told of God what he was to do, said, I continued on. I didn't say nothing but what the Moses and the prophets said would come. Just stuck with the Word of God, you see. That's very specific. He said, I'm not going to say other things. And it's amazing. You know, I'm sure you wouldn't be like this, but I have lots of opinions. Do you folks have opinions? Sure you do. I have opinions. All of mine are right. But we all have opinions, don't we? You never find Paul talking about an opinion. Paul stuck with absolute, inspired, inerrant truth of God's Word. And that's why you and I need to just hang in here with the book.
Right.
You know, we don't need all the other stuff. We need the Word of God. And these opinions, I don't want to offend you, but your opinion doesn't matter any more than my opinion does. And I'll tell you, since I'm doing so good on time, I'll tell you what's got our churches in the shape they're in tonight. The preacher knows. I'm talking about churches that used to be just like this church. Here's what happens. The preacher will study, hopefully, and he discerns what the Scripture is saying, and he discerns a principle there from the Scripture, and he gets before his folks, and he reads that Scripture, and he gives the principle, and he makes application of the principle to the people. And it was wonderful. And so he's surveying that application. And he says, you know, that was so good, I'm going to make an application from the application. And now he's backed a little further from the Word. And it got so good then, he makes an application from the application of the application. And now, this is forgotten. And we're making all of our decisions based on applications from applications, saying everything except what the prophets and Moses did say. We don't need to get into that. I mean, let's just stay with the Word of God just like your preacher does. Forget the opinions. Stay with the right, true, unfailable Word of God. There's one last thing. Verse 23. You know there's not a period after verse 22. So he's continuing on that Christ should suffer and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead and should show light unto the people and unto the Gentiles. Here's the capstone. He said, I'm not going to say anything other than what Moses and the prophet said. I'm just going to share the gospel of Christ.
Amen.
That's it.
Amen.
That's what it's all about.
Right.
Not about money. It's not about the tithe and the offering. Money, the tithe and the offering are what's essential to what it's all about.
Amen.
It's what we, in today's society, it's what we have to have to get what God wants us to do done. And what we need to do is get the stuff out of the way, narrow our focus down. You know, I don't have a lot of stuff that bothers me real bad that Christians say, but one of them, when new folks come in the church and the preacher talks to them a little bit, and they say, well, we're kind of looking to see what the church has for us, what they have for our youth. I just really want to jack the jaw for Jesus' sake. I mean, it's not about what the church can do for you, nor what God can do for you. It's about what you are supposed to be doing for God.
Amen.
Well, what was the purpose? To minister and to witness. What does a minister do? He serves. She serves and witnesses. What does a witness do? Tells what they saw or what they heard. And you know what Paul was doing every time he recounted that experience on the Damascus Road? He was telling what he saw and what he heard. He'd stop people anywhere and let me tell you what happened to me on the Damascus Road. You know, people today say, well, I wouldn't know how to witness. Educable slow, maybe. Do you know what happened to you? Or if you don't, you might ought to have something happen to you. But if you know what happened to you, just tell it. You don't have to know all theology. It would be good for you to know what happened to you, though. And that's what Paul did over and over and over again. Narrow focus. We can't do everything. We can't be everything to everybody. So let's just narrow it down and be to God what he'd have us to be. One more time, verse 17. For I have appeared unto thee for this purpose. And he spends the next verses telling us what that purpose is. Let's pray and ask God to bless the continuing part of this meeting. Heavenly Father, thank you for the privilege to be a part of the ministry of this church, to be a part of their outreach program, to have so many friends here for Wanda and for me. And I pray now as they approach your business, that the focus could be narrowed down. Get rid of all the peripheral stuff, all of the personal little what you got for me and what we're going to do for them, and settle in on real stewardship to minister and to witness. In Jesus' name, amen. Pastor.